know someone who knows what I'm up against. I know someone who's here in the midst of it, fighting for me in a battle I could never win all on my own. I might not be able to part the waters, might not be able to calm the storms, might not be able to make my giants fall. Good thing I'm not alone, 'cause there is a power that is greater, so I'm not afraid of what's ahead. I'm standing in the confidence that even though I can't, my God can. He'll heal those who hurt and comfort every broken heart. Restore the homes of families who've been torn apart. Tell chains to break and do what seems impossible, like only He can. I might not be able to part the waters, might not be able to calm the storms, might not be able to make my giants fall. Good thing I'm not alone, 'cause there is a power that is greater, so I'm not afraid of what's ahead. I'm standing in the confidence that even though I can't, my God can. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things, 'cause His Spirit lives in me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things, 'cause His Spirit lives in me. I might not be able to part the waters,
might not be able to calm the storm,
might not be able to make my giants fall. Good thing I'm not alone, 'cause there is a power that is greater, so I'm not afraid of what's ahead. I'm standing in the confidence that even though I can't, my God can. My God can.
So coming to our time of prayer this morning, some updates on the concern list at the back of the bulletin. You can see that Maxine Martin is in Roop Rehab after breaking her ankle. Ben Buehr was moved yesterday from the hospital to a rehab place still down in Toledo and has started therapy there. Tiny little baby steps each day. There's progress each day, and the therapists are pleased, even though Ben is not pleased with the amount of progress, but that is happening. So continue to pray for Ben and Sue. Stuart Short, you can see that the biopsy revealed it's not pancreatic cancer, but the cancer is in the small bowel and the liver, still very serious. And unfortunately, Stuart spent some time in the hospital this week dealing with a case of pancreatitis. So continue to pray for the two of them. Regina Beck begins her chemo tomorrow in Toledo. And then Jody Belts was supposed to have surgery this coming week, but it's been delayed because the left leg that has been done before still needs to gain strength before they operate on the right. So let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we come before You. Gathered together, connected in, we worship in this time. We worship you. We worship in your mighty name, a name that carries great power, a name that has great authority, a name that is strong and eternal, a name that is filled with promise, and a name that can. Lord, as we think about our brothers and sisters of our congregation, from the joy of new life for Jacob and Stephanie and Nash, to the concern, the very real deep concern of cancer diagnosis and the reality of death of Kira's grandmother. Lord, we pray with hope. We pray with expectation. We pray for trust. Trust that your will be accomplished. Your will would be done. Lord, we pray for miracles of healing. We thank you for modern medicine. We thank you for new medical discoveries. And we thank you for the promise of everlasting life, that the struggles, the trials we have in this life are not the end, and they prepare us for a future that is filled with joy and glory, because we will eventually be with you. Whether that's when Christ comes back, or whether that's through our own death in this world to await for that return. Lord, we submit ourselves to you, sharing our prayers and our hopes, but trusting in faithfulness for your love. We pray for the search committee who will present a candidate for our youth and young adult position tomorrow evening. We pray for all the other aspects of business that the consistory will deal with. But Lord, we pray for that search committee and that process that will soon hopefully bring a recommendation to the congregation for their knowledge and their input. Lord, we pray once again for your will to be accomplished. And Lord, unite us together as we pray the prayer of our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's join together in our sermon hymn, Spirit of the Living God. I guess you're supposed to stand up. Sorry. Stretch a little bit. Our sermon scripture is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." This is God's holy word.
Please join me in prayer. Lord God, in these moments, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its hope and for its instruction, and we pray for listening hearts and listening ears that we might be strengthened in this season of Lent to glorify you. In Christ we pray. Amen. Son, ordered a father, don't swim in the canal. Okay, answered the boy. But he came home carrying a wet bathing suit later that afternoon. Where have you been? Demanded the father. Swimming in the canal, he answered. Didn't I tell you not to swim there? Asked the father. Yes, sir, answered the boy. Well, why did you? He asked. Well, Dad, I had my swimming suit with me and I couldn't resist the temptation. Well, why did you take your swimming suit with you? The father questioned. So I'd be prepared to swim in case I was tempted. Some people fall into temptation, but a great many make plans for failure ahead of time. John Piper wrote that sin gets its power by persuading me to believe I will be happier if I follow it. That's the power of temptation, the prospect that it will make me happier. So what is temptation? Enticement, seduction, invitation, persuasion, inducement, deception. It's all of those words to do wrong, to do evil, to do what God does not want us to do. Temptation attacks a person's spiritual and moral compass. The Apostle Paul writes of this so well in Romans 7, 14 through 25. These sentences of Paul's writing can be a real brain teaser. He writes in a way with repetition that I think it's going to be best if you follow along in the written word while I read. So I invite you to turn to Romans 7, verse 15. In the Pew Bible, that's 1118. Just to help you follow along, and this is one of the things I like about my Bible program on my computer. I can copy and paste and spread out the words a little bit and kind of line them up. So Romans 7:15, page 1118 in the Pew Bible. I do not understand what I do, Paul writes. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. As we read and study the Bible, we learn what is righteous and we learn what is sinful. And yet in our human condition, in our human weakness, temptation confronts us on a daily basis. And we get enticed and seduced or persuaded to give in, to sin, seeking to be happier, only to find out once again that it's not the way to true and real happiness. Psalm 25, the scripture that we read at the beginning of this service, Psalm 25 is a prayer of King David. David writes as one who was suffering through the effects of his sins. He's given in to temptation, and he offers a very honest prayer up to the Lord. He admits his sins, his transgressions. He speaks of his shame, and he speaks of his guilt. And he asks the Lord to forgive him. And David repents from his sin. So we know that the Apostle Paul sinned. And we know that King David sinned. And we're often aware of the sins of other people. Did you hear what she said? Did you see what Tom did? Can you believe? And I didn't mean to pin on any Toms in the congregation, just an example. Can you believe that so-and-so just got arrested? Did you hear about that other loud shouting match between your neighbors? We can have an antenna out for other people's sins. Evangelist F.B. Meyer is quoted as saying, "When we see a brother or sister in sin, there are two things we do not know. First, we do not know how hard he or she tried not to sin. And second, we do not know the power of the forces that beset him or her. We also do not know what we would have done in those same circumstances." So in this season of Lent, let's not be looking at everyone else, wondering about other people's sins. I encourage us to just focus in on our own, to think about ourselves in this time, in this season of Lent, to be concerned with the temptations unique to our lives, focused in on the sin we've either committed or we think we might commit. Through our reading from Mark chapter 1, we are made aware of or reminded of the time Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and how after his baptism, Jesus was sent into the desert by the Spirit. And there he was tempted by Satan for a lengthy period of 40 days. All four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of these books about the life and the ministry of Jesus, all four share an account or aspects of the baptism of Jesus, but only three of them, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have an account about Jesus being sent in the desert for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. And of those three Gospel accounts, Mark's version is the most succinct. Matthew and Luke show further details about the way Satan tempted Jesus. From these three accounts, we draw on the insight of how to face temptation. We can look at Jesus and how he dealt with temptation and how we can deal with temptation in our lives. Because Jesus experienced temptation. And the three that are shared in the Gospels, those weren't just the only three that he faced in those 40 days, most likely. But I also think about the temptation that Jesus faced and experienced and dealt with in the final days of his life, on that night before he was to be crucified. He was in the garden. He knew he was on the way to the cross, but he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying. "Take this cup from me," Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father. That was a time of temptation that Jesus dealt with. Take this cup. Take this ugliness. Take this cruelty. Take this pain. Take this responsibility of the cross from me. That's what Jesus was asking of the Lord. He was tempted, but he remained faithful. Yet not what I will, but your will be done. The faith and the trust Jesus had in God was very real. It was very strong, and it carried him through. It bolstered him up in that time of prayer. Jesus didn't live his life based on his own desires. Foremost in his mind was faithfulness and obedience to his heavenly Father, the Lord God Almighty. Came across a story about long ago as the Union Pacific Railroad was being constructed. An elaborate trestle bridge was built across a large canyon in the west. And wanting to test that bridge, the engineers loaded a train with enough extra cars and equipment to double its normal payload. And the train was then driven to the middle of the bridge, where it stayed for an entire day. One puzzled worker asked, "Are you trying to break the bridge?" "No," the engineer replied, "I'm trying to prove that the bridge won't break." In the same way, the temptations Jesus faced were not designed to see if he would sin, but to prove that he couldn't. Jesus thwarted Satan's temptations with the power and the authority of what Scripture he had available to him. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. The New Testament wouldn't come till about 20 years after the resurrection of Jesus, those 27 books of the New Testament. So Jesus referred to the Old Testament when he faced Satan in those days in the desert. We look at Matthew 4, verse 3. The tempter, the devil, Satan, the tempter came to him and said, "If," as there's that big word, "if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And Jesus was hungry. He was physically weak. And he was faced with a physical temptation, a temptation of the body, the lust of the flesh, some say, seeking pleasure and satisfaction. And a lesson comes that life comes from more than food. Verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Satan knows Scripture too. Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." From Deuteronomy 6:16. It's the temptation of ego, the temptation of self-interest, of the power and the authority that we want. Do you struggle with that temptation? I do. I want to do everything by myself. I refuse help when people offer. The ego. I just wish all of my elders would have told me how much that will change when you hit your 60s. And you no longer can bend over and crawl like you used to, and you need the help of many younger people. A physical lesson, again, pointing toward our spiritual growth. Verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Deuteronomy 6:13. It's the temptation of materialism. Possessions and physical comfort mean more to us than spiritual values. It's the loss of self and a loss of faith. And then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. To deal with temptation in your life, what scriptures can you recite? What scriptures have you memorized? What scriptures can you quote when you are tempted? Find that one verse or many verses that you can have here that when you are tempted in whatever desire it might be, that scripture, it may not pertain exactly to that, but just to have scripture in mind will remind you that you are to love God and serve Him only. Jesus, being God's Son, the only perfect one that did not sin, when he went out and began his public ministry, he called people to repentance. To repentance, because we are sinners. We have the reality and we have the need for repentance. When we fail, when we've given in to temptation, we're called to repent. To repent means to recognize our sin and to turn to God. God, I'm sorry. God, please forgive me. And in those moments, the amazing grace of Jesus Christ our Lord comes to the forefront, and we are given another chance. We are given another opportunity to build ourselves up in faith, to rely on the Holy Spirit's guidance, and to say no to that temptation when it comes again. For our salvation, for our peace, and for the glory of our Heavenly Father. Amen. As we ponder this time of worship, as we ponder our relationship with Jesus Christ, our personal relationship with the Lord, as we listen to our offertory this morning, I invite our ushers to come forward and receive our acts and our giving of worship. God, we thank you for the ministry of the church that Jesus Christ established. We thank you for this opportunity to worship and to give of ourselves that that kingdom would continue to be spread. Use these gifts and use us to share your joy and your love. In Christ we pray. Amen.
So our benediction and song will be Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Amazing Grace, followed by the spoken benediction. And then we will close out our service by singing the first verse of Amazing Grace again.
Through times of temptation, keep communion with God. Through deeds of love, keep fellowship with one another. At all times and in all ways, keep the faith. Amen.